SS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's the first Friday of the month. The government to report numbers on unemployment in June.
The Labor Department is expected to announce a gain of 190,000 jobs last month. That would be down considerably from the 272,000 jobs added in May. It'd be a sign that the economy is starting to cool, but the number is still historically strong. Unemployment's expected to hold steady at 4%.
ABC's Daria Albinger. Three people killed, seven injured here in New York City after a pickup truck plowed into a park on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Terrorism not suspected. It's believed the driver of the pickup truck was drunk. Voters in Great Britain sent the Conservative Party, which has run Britain the last 14 years, sent it to a crushing defeat in parliamentary elections, their worst ever in 190 years of existence. The Labour Party's Keir Starmer to be the next British Prime Minister. This is ABC News. ABC's Andrea Fugee. Independence Day tragedy in Southern California.
11 people were on board when the boat crashed into a jetty in Alamitos Bay. Crews had to rescue some people from the water. Boat owner Scott Rose says he's unsure why the boat crashed. He says he's never come close to the jetty line.
Daytime's easy, but nighttime, that's why you have chart plotters and stuff. You just look at that stuff and it kind of tells you where you are in relation to the rocks.
Three of the people injured were taken to a hospital in critical condition. Blake Trolley, ABC News, Long Beach.
It's ghastly hot in a lot of the American West. People have died and the heat could soon break records.
Next week, there's a chance Death Valley will hit, get this, 130 degrees. If it gets to 130 degrees, that'll be the hottest temperature ever reliably measured on Earth. Las Vegas could also break a record. Anything above 117 degrees would blow the all-time record out of the water. And Las Vegas is forecast to be 119 degrees for much of the week next week.
ABC's Alex Stone. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Matt Nair on air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep it
clean. Go ahead. Thanks. That's really
nice. You are one master whacker. I'll tell you that.
That's wow. That's unbelievable. You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic, Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am hosting in her stead. We welcome Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, as well as Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. Our high right around 73 this afternoon. Tonight, rain will end. It'll gradually clear overnight. Our low 59. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy and a bit warmer with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Earl Ingram.
Tune in to the show Friday for my regular conversation with my good friend Sandy Williams. We'll talk about the 4th of July, my interview with President, and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Well, it wasn't exactly ideal weather for the 4th of July, but I hope you managed through. Welcome back, everybody. It's a Friday. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here at the Midwest Farm Report. We'll check in with weather Stumacher, ag meteorologist, on the way. The good news is it looks like the weekend is going to be improving. I am looking for your rainfall reports this morning. I think our talk text line is back up and operational. Remember that number, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. I only wish that I could tell you that the rain and showers and thunderstorms are out of our forecast, but they're not. Today, we'll see partly sunny skies, but there's still a possibility that we could see a shower or a thunderstorm. Some folks could see rainfall between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, maybe higher amounts if you've got a thunderstorm. That chance of rain continues into the evening hours, but then Saturday, sunshine, 79. The evening of Saturday, maybe a sliver of a chance of rain or even a thunderstorm. Then Sunday, another chance of rain in the forecast. Like I said, we just can't seem to catch a break. Tell you what, Wisconsin farmers aren't the only one battling Mother Nature. Canadian farmers are also making some fairly drastic decisions as far as their crops and the weather. That's one of the stories that's on the way for your Friday.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Despite making up 25% of all high school students in Wisconsin, rural students face lower college enrollment rates compared to their non-rural peers. College, whether that's two-year or four-year, may not be for everyone, but rural students often must navigate planning for after high school without all of the information and support that they need to determine the best path for them. That's where the College for Rural Wisconsin comes in. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And Jennifer Blazik, Program Director for College for Rural Wisconsin, shares more about their College to You Roadshow event coming up on July 9th and how it helps these rural students.
It's a program which offers both, for the first hour, it's a college access panel. So we have all the college reps and all the support programs that we'll be attending on a panel answering questions about college going, tips and resources. And then the second hour is all about just one-on-one interactions. So you can meet with any or all of the colleges or support programs about your questions about college going. So that's why it's really ideal for students who are freshmen all the way through juniors. And then even seniors can come as well, especially incoming seniors this coming year. But we have a bunch of colleges and support programs coming. So right now we have Mid-State Tech, Madison College, Ripon College, UW-Madison, and then our support programs are UW-Help and the College for Rural Wisconsin. Our Rural Peer Ambassadors will be on hand, so you can get some really good current college student experiences, and you can talk to them one-on-one about just anything, really. They have a wide range of experiences. And it's free, so that's what's really cool. So it's free to attend. We'll have refreshments for you as well. And again, it's open to everyone. It's Tuesday, July 9th from 6 to 8 p.m.
So what did you learn from that first event to now hosting this second one here in Nacoosa that maybe you changed or added to make sure that you're taking that feedback from those students and those community members?
That's a great question. I had a lot of parents ask me, okay, when are you doing this again? And so one of the things we did change is that we wanted to make sure we had a wider range of schools represented. So as you can see from our NUCUSA lineup, we have more technical colleges represented where we didn't have that necessarily in Mayville. And it changed because that's also what NUCUSA wanted. So they thought about what their students, where they're interested in going, what their needs are, who they want to hear from. And then we changed the lineup based on that, those needs. So that was really important. And then I think what we found too was that having kind of the panel be a good representation of those colleges and support programs as well is really important, because what we found in the panel is that we would ask the question and everybody would kind of just chime in and tag team on each other's answers, which was really great, because then you get a question. You ask a question and your answers are really robust and they cover a wide range of things. So we made sure to really have that round robin panel instead of just asking, like, you know, this, the technical college one question and then going to like UW-Madison for another. So that was something else that we learned that was really, really useful. And making sure students and families have enough time to do one-on-ones with the college representatives, because that we found there was a lot of great conversations going on that students and families were asking. And so we wanted to make sure we had enough time for that too, to make sure we're not cutting anybody off, especially because this is their time to meet with colleges that may not be visiting them otherwise.
And you guys are looking for more schools interested in hosting these types of events, correct?
Yes, definitely. Any schools who are out there, we're particularly interested in North and Northwest, but I'm not limiting it. If you're a rural or small town school, we definitely want you to come. Like the College to You Roadshow, everything we offer to you is free, and our focus is to come to you and visit your students where they're at the school. Even after school programs, we're interested in working with students, especially those who are thinking about that college going, so middle school all the way through high school ages. So we're really looking for schools and programs. And like I said, we're always free and we tailor it to you too. So maybe College to You Roadshow is something you're kind of interested in. Maybe you want more one-on-one with my rural peer ambassadors to come and talk to your students. Maybe you want a program focused on applications. Whatever it is, we can meet your needs.
And you mentioned that those ambassadors, you guys are working on some new initiatives with them to kind of expand that, correct? Take me through that a little bit more.
Yes. So we started our first year in existence with four rural peer ambassadors, all UW-Madison current students from rural and small town areas. And it was such a success, and they're amazing students. And we talked as a team that we really want to bring on a wider diversity of experience and backgrounds. So we're really interested in expanding the program to include a technical college student and then a current student at one of our other UW campuses, especially in North Northwest, you know, potentially like Eau Claire, Menominee, River Falls, those kind of areas. So we really want to expand. And this is a paid position. So if you're worried about, hey, I'm not doing this for free, we do pay you. And really the only requirement is that you need to be a current student in a 2-year or 4-year campus and from a rural or small town community, because we really want that experience as a rural student to help support rural students who are incoming into the higher ed program. And all you need to do is contact me. We're going to start applications in August.
How can they contact you? What's the best way to get a hold of you for the, or if they have questions even more about that program?
Yeah, so you can email me. My email is jennifer.blazik@wisc.edu. You can also find my contact information on our website. Also, feel free to contact any of the ambassadors. Their contact information is on there as well. If you're like, hey, what is this about? You know, like, what do you do? What is the time requirements? All those kind of things. They're going to know because they've lived it for a year. So feel free if you're like, I don't want to talk to Jennifer right away. I want to actually hear from a student first. Please do that. They're more than happy about talking about the program.
So what are some of the resources or support then available for students who are interested in coming through some of these programs?
Yeah, so you can go through your school and we can come and do the visits. We have a lot of virtual options as well on our website. We have a lot of resources that the ambassadors and I have created around college search and selection, financial aid, all those kind of resources. We did a recent survey of high school students and UW-Madison students who are from rural areas. And one of the top things that came out of that was applications and just support and help through not only applying to college, but that application process and how to understand that. So we're really working on that right now and are building out not only resources that people can access anytime on our website, but also that we can support and provide in person at schools around that college application process. And then because we're connected to the STARS College Network, which is Small Town and Rural Students College Network, we do a lot of virtual sessions as well that anyone can listen to. They're all recorded as well, so they're on our YouTube channel. And for example, this summer, we're doing multiple sessions a month. So in July, it's all about careers. So we've got careers in STEM, careers in social sciences. And then I will be actually co-teaching, presenting a session on July 23rd on careers in humanities. So these are great resources. And even if you're not interested in any of our sister star schools like MIT or Columbia or Ohio State, it's really great resources. And it's not pushing campuses on students. It's really providing that education and outreach. So it's really great. And who knows? You maybe be like, I've never been interested in these schools. And then you hear from one of the counselors and the reps and you're like, wow, some of the things they're doing is kind of cool. Maybe it's something that opens up. And that's our goal, right? Is just to not only provide education and outreach, but to just open the pathways that students have to higher ed opportunities.
And moving forward now, I know you mentioned you got quite a bit of stuff in the pipeline for you. What is maybe one thing you wish people knew about your program, what you guys offer, or questions that you're getting?
I would say just that we're a resource here. And I know a lot of times, because my current group of ambassadors are from UW-Madison, I'm a UW-Madison staff member, I know some people might be worried, like, oh, they're just coming to push UW-Madison on us. You know, they're here for recruiting. And we are not, by all means. Of course, we can share that experience and talk about some of those things. But we're here to, like I said before, really open up pathways and really support schools and after-school programs and others who are supporting college-going students around those options and resources and education, just to really help students who oftentimes rural students don't have the networks or those connections to really help them through the process and you know, understand all the nuances and language and things that happen. So we're just here as a support. So we're not recruiting for anyone. So that's one of the things. And again, we're free. So it's really cool. We can come to you. We provide a lot of options. Having the current students, college students, share their experiences and knowledge and expertise with future college students is amazing. And I would say, if anything I've learned in my year and, well, I guess we're not even a year and a half yet, but the first year of the program has been the reception that parents, students, counselors, principals have about this, the ambassadors, has been amazing. They're like, your students are awesome. Like, we want to hear more from them. And that's the thing. So I put them in the front. So you're not listening to me all the time. You might be on the radio right now. But when it comes to actually presenting, it's the students who are talking to the students. And that's such a key experience.
Jennifer Blazek, Program Director for College for Rural Wisconsin, along with us, talking about their upcoming College to You Roadshow event happening on July 9th in Nakusa. And as she mentioned, anyone is invited to attend. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After three chaotic years with a politician-led commission and an anti-voter legislature failing to produce Ohio redistricting maps without gerrymandering, a ballot measure proposing a citizen-led redistricting commission will likely be put to the voters in November. The Citizens Not Politicians campaign hopes to replace a redistricting commission which included the governor and party leadership with an all-citizen independent commission. The current experiment lasted only 6 years, but long enough to further entrench GOP incumbents for a veto-proof majority in the state House and Senate. The GOP holds 10 of 15 congressional seats, garnering only 54% of the vote. When maps were vetoed by the Ohio Supreme Court based on the state constitution's provision that no general assembly district plan shall be drawn primarily to favor or disfavor a political party, the responsibility for drawing maps ping-ponged between the commission and the state legislature. Citizens Not Politicians proposes a 15-member citizen commission of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, none of whom can be current or former politicians or lobbyists. It forbids redistricting for partisan advantage and requires a fully transparent process. Organizers needed 413,000 voter signatures from 44 counties. They submitted over 731,000 from 57 counties. We've linked to the ballot measure at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am hosting in her stead. We welcome Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, as well as Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Activities, you might want to check ahead and see if things have been rescheduled for today, although I'm guessing today doesn't necessarily give us a tremendous outlook as far as 4th of July fireworks, does it?
I think you're right, Pam. We need to check ahead. After all, things were canceled and rescheduled last night, fireworks-wise and celebrations, and now today with rain in the picture again, we could have some late starts or change of location. The best thing, check ahead, make sure your activities are going on. Unfortunately, checking ahead out in the fields is more water is collecting. After the rain we saw late yesterday and last night, more of it in the picture for today. In fact, a cool front's going to swing across Wisconsin today, turning south winds to the northwest. Still meaning a pretty cool day compared. Not nearly as warm as yesterday. Temperatures, in fact, in some cases, about 8 degrees cooler than normal for today. But that front moving through the state is going to mean rain, showers, even thunderstorms developing on and off, the chance of rain lingering on into the nighttime hours, when we may very well almost anywhere talk about a quarter to half inch amounts, could be a little heavier in eastern Wisconsin, 3/4 of an inch. That's the sad part of it. But that system is going to clear on through, keeping us a bit cooler today. And then, unfortunately, it warms up pretty quickly. In fact, as sunshine returns for tomorrow and into Sunday, those temps push back into the upper 70s and low 80s. And by Sunday, another chance of rain could even happen late Saturday night in western Wisconsin. But certainly through the day Sunday and into Sunday night, another round of rain and some more rain amounts pushing up to 1/4 and 1/2 inch to be seen. It indeed is still going to be a wet end to the weekend as well, staying a little wet as we make our way into early next week. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Our Compere Financial Ag Weather Update indeed is calling for mostly cloudy skies. Showers and thunderstorms be around the day. A little heavier again later this afternoon and evening. Temps in the upper 60s and low 70s. Far northern Wisconsin, upper 60s. In the 70s further in the south. And those southwest winds they talked about become northwest. Only about 5 to 10. Still some rain chance tonight ending from west to east. A total of about 1/4 to 1/2 at least our possibility. And we expect to see nighttime lows in the upper 50s and very low 60s. With the northwest winds at 5 to 10, we'll be back to sunshine and warm, probably muggy on Saturday. In fact, that high at about 78 with a northwest breeze of only 5. But late Saturday night, western Wisconsin may see a little rain. That chance of showers and thunderstorms and pushing across the state into the day Saturday, another up to 1/4 inch or more, certainly a possibility as we head through Sunday. Certainly warmer and more humid. Some sun trying to break through. through upper 70s, most likely are what we're going to talk about. Those south winds only about 5 to 10. That chance of a shower or a storm still lingering even into Monday. Just not haymaking weather, not really holiday-type weather, unfortunately, because of the amount of rain we've been dealing with and the very, very wet conditions that are a result. The best we can do is say take it one day at a time, and hopefully things are going to improve here somewhere down the road. This forecast into next week still looks like some of that moisture is going to stick around. We're not going to have that nice dry out that we also really want to see.
All right, appreciate it, Stu. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Remember, Compure Financial is your financial partner for agriculture and for rural living. Find all the resources you're looking for online at Compure.com. We're going to keep the weather conversation going a little bit on this Friday morning. I caught up with a fellow farm broadcaster out of Canada, Denny Guy. He was telling me that the weather has been so severe in British Columbia, far western side of Canada, that farmers there have actually been spending their spring tearing out fruit trees and trying to...
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal genuinely of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It's the first Friday of the month. The government to report numbers on unemployment in June.
The Labor Department is expected to announce a gain of 190,000 jobs last month. That would be down considerably from the 272,000 jobs added in May. It'd be a sign that the economy is starting to cool, but the number is still historically strong. Unemployment's expected to hold steady at 4%.
ABC's Daria Albinger. Three people killed, seven injured here in New York City after a pickup truck plowed into a park on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Terrorism not suspected. It's believed the driver of the pickup truck was drunk. Voters in Great Britain sent the Conservative Party, which has run Britain the last 14 years, sent it to a crushing defeat in parliamentary elections, their worst ever in 190 years of existence. The Labour Party's Keir Starmer to be the next British Prime Minister. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
President Biden tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram that Donald Trump wants to undo all he's done for black Americans.
I'm sorry to get so worked up, but he is just, he's done terrible things to the community, and he has about as much interest and concern for black and minority communities as the man in the moon does.
Biden says he's appointed black leaders to high positions in government and fostered a boom in black-owned businesses. Biden campaigns in Madison Friday. The leader of the Universities of Wisconsin's second biggest school is stepping down. UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mone says he plans to return to his faculty position in UWM's business school next spring. Mone was chancellor for 10 years. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks add a free agent. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks signed 30-year-old forward Taurean Prince. Last year with the Lakers, the 6'5" Prince averaged about 9 points a game in 78 appearances. He played for Minnesota before that. Baseball, Brewers making a trade. They sent a prospect infielder, Gregory Barrios, to the Rays for a starting right-handed pitcher, 29-year-old Aaron Civale. Last night, the Crew with a 3-0 win over the Rockies. The first shutout for Milwaukee at Coors Field since 2005. Christian Yelich, with a home run, named as a starter in the upcoming All-Star game, along with catcher William Contreras. Colin Ray, pitching 7 innings in the shutout.
Code Red, we call him Code Red. He was sensational and really efficient. I think he went more down and away fastball than he normally does, and you'd have to ask him, but I don't think he threw as many cutters.
Yeah, it was a late night. That's manager Pat Murphy. They wrap up the four-game series tonight with sports on Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
Tune in to the show Friday for my regular conversation with my good friend Sandy Williams. We'll talk about the 4th of July, my interview with the president, and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
This weather update is brought to you by your boat club, Oshkosh's premier outdoor clothing and equipment retailer. When you're serious about fun, shop your boat club located at 1232 North Sawyer Street.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. Our high right around 73 this afternoon. Tonight, rain will end. It'll gradually clear overnight. Our low 59. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy and a bit warmer with a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle 3. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Celebrating freedom, unity, and the spirit of America this holiday, I'm Jane Matinair, host of Matinair on Air.
And I'm co-host Greg Bach. From all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network to you,
Happy 4th of July!
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
I got a text from some friends of mine. They're working for Habitat for Humanity today.
All great.
I might run over there, just put on the tool belt and just kind of midriff shirt, whatever, and just kind of do some work.
Get a little sheen going.
Get a little sheen going for the ladies.
Yeah. The Mino Sheen.
Hey, that would be a good, like, fragrance, like a cologne. Mino Sheen.
What is she looking for?
Hey, you smell really good, yeah. Big boy.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Yeah, you heard right. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, telling us that there's more rain in the forecast for today. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. I hope you found some dry space to enjoy 4th of July fireworks yesterday. Today, it looks like we've got more rain in the forecast. And as far as the measurable rain, kind of depends on where you are. If a thunderstorm springs out in your area, you could see more than a tenth of an inch of rain. Daytime highs today expected to be around 73 degrees. Might notice winds out of the southwest, about 15 miles an hour. The good news, Saturday looks like it's going to be dry, probably again around 78 degrees for our daytime highs. But then Sunday and Monday, more rain returns. Keep your fingers crossed we can get dry by the time we get to Tuesday. So let's see. Today is the fifth day of July. Happy birthday to actress Edie Falco. You might know her best for her role on The Sopranos. And by golly, look at that. Huey Lewis from Huey Lewis and the News celebrating his 74th birthday today. And now you know. Well, we want you to know that Wisconsin's conservation efforts don't just involve farmers. In fact, there's more and more groups reaching out to urban agriculture, smaller parcels of land holders that are interested in conservation. Stephanie Hoff brings us an update on one of the groups that they're mobilizing now.
Heather Gayton joins us in studio representing the Farmers of the Rocha Cree based in central Wisconsin. She tells me about the exciting work they've got going on this summer, but first she introduces us to the Watershed Group.
Farmers of the Rocha Cree, we are a very diverse group of producers, right? So you've got the smallest scale producers like myself. I'm on the Little Rocha Cree watershed and I'm the furthest downstream. So I see it all, right? What's going on? And I am so excited to work with our large producers who are, they're farming 30,000 plus acres. But again, we're very diverse and we are all members of the community who have joined together to protect and enhance the Big and Little Rocha Cree watersheds. So one thing that's been really exciting is our new fiscal agent, which is, they are the Petenwell and Castle Rock stewards. They are a group of lake folks. These are non-farming folks who are really excited about the educational work that we're doing. We're doing research and demo plots around cover crops and diversifying those plots, which is exciting. And then coming together around the watershed resource concerns and being able to build trust and relationships to be able to talk about those resources and how we can come together to improve them and to protect them. And it's we got some exciting events coming up. I know I'll be hosting an event on my farm this fall, and I'm going to do that in collaboration with the other producers in the group. And, you know, we're going to be walking through our farms and just having that level of transparency within the non-farming community is really how we're building trust.
Yeah. You know, when did Farmers of the Rocha Cree first get started and how have you grown or changed since that time?
I want to say it's been about 5 years. I think we're just entering into our fifth year of when we first started meeting. It's been wonderful. We continue to grow in membership. I want to say we've got almost a dozen producers who come to the meetings or engaging in some way, whether they're reading through our newsletters, our minutes, and coming to events, sharing our events. it's just really great to see farmers, producers coming together and talking about what's going on their farms, talking about struggles they may be having or being able to come and ask questions. And no one's judging anyone, right? So we come and we learn how to speak one another's language. So if you're a small scale producer, I highly recommend know what watershed you're farming in and then find out who are the larger farms that are farming in the same watershed. And I think for so long that people have been so quick to point the finger, right, as to like whose fault, oh, the water is bad because of this or that. It's like when people can come together and set aside their differences and talk about the resource, but also learn how to speak one another's language, there's some very powerful healing that happens there.
What are some of the conservation practices, watershed protection practices that Farmers of the Rocha Cree is focused on right now? And for people who don't speak that language, explain what you mean by certain terminologies.
Sure. So one thing we've been talking a lot about is precision ag within the farming community. And so what that looks like for a small scale producer, what that looks like for a medium or large scale. So looking at which lands are not really producing, right? They're not productive. They're not making you money. They're costing you money. It's like, how can you transition those lands into pollinator habitat or into some sort of riparian forest buffer, something that's going to sequester nutrients, sequester carbon, put it back into the soil. And then also we have cost sharing, right? So one of the benefits of being in a producer watershed group is you get connected with cost sharing and those dollars. And so when you want to implement a best practice, there are dollars available for farmers to help cover those costs.
So you said you are the furthest downstream. So right. Tell me, you know, over the course of 5 years, have you noticed any changes?
I have. I think just from having conversation and awareness about the resource has opened up people's hearts and minds into I've noticed a huge increase in biodiversity on my farm. Of course, now I'm doing a lot of removal of invasive species. There's practices I'm implementing on my farm that are also contributing to that. But I would say when that water is, and I do routine testing and sampling on the stream that flows through. So when I'm looking at what times of the year, if there's a flooding event, rain events, things like that, I am following that data. And I've been very pleased to see the nitrates, phosphates going down. I'm seeing some really positive things happening and species of birds and insects that I haven't seen. I didn't see those species or insects on my farm, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. But when you see those things and you become more aware of it, it is very exciting, very motivating.
And to bring this full circle, this is the data that you can present to your non-farm partners, such as the Clean Lake organization that you're working with in your area.
And they're so supportive and they're so excited and they want to be a part of it too. And so it's really, again, comes down to building relationships, comes down to coming together around a resource and then looking at what resources are available to support farmers in implementing best practices.
Heather Gayton along with us from Zambria Artisan Farms and Friendship and a member of the Farmers of the Rocha Cree Watershed Group. This group is made up of about a dozen farms in central Wisconsin that are focused on protecting the water and the soil in the area. There are 47 producer-led watershed groups across the state. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lapenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
All right.
party on Wednesday in Chicago, we saw the barrel cheese gain 2.25 cents to 190 and a quarter. 40-pound black cheese, that was unchanged at 190. Double A butter on Wednesday, down 0.25 cents, still at 313 and a half per pound. On Wednesday's close, then, we saw December corn finish down 1.75 cents at 419 and a half. November soybeans, they were up, actually 8.5 cents, 1121 and a half. The July, make that September, new crop wheat down 7.574. The August class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that was 24 cents stronger, closed at 19.85 going into the holiday break. September was up 22 cents at 20.29 a hundredweight. You know, I know there's not a Wisconsin farmer that's really very excited about the commodity prices we're looking at right now, and they're even less enthusiastic about the weather that we're experiencing. You know what? You're not alone. I caught up with fellow farm broadcaster Denny Guy. He's broadcasting in Canada and says far western Canada in British Columbia, there's farmers making some drastic moves because of the weather. Denny?
After 2 years of weather event extremes, followed by a devastating winter cold snap in mid-January, some British Columbia fruit tree operators are cutting trees, pulling stumps, and planting crops that will give them at least some cash flow this growing season. Extremely low temperatures in mid-January severely damaged stone fruit trees and grapevines in the Okanagan Valley region, killing the buds on branches that would have been this season's crops. The stone fruit crops, peaches, apricots, and nectarines, suffered the worst damage. Conversely, apple trees tolerated the January deep freeze relatively well and experienced much less damage. British Columbia has more orchard farms than any other province in Canada and has twice as many orchard growers as Ontario and Quebec combined. Nearly all of BC's tree fruits are grown in the Okanagan Valley, where cherries, nectarines, and peaches are the most commonly grown. Janelle Oliver of Kelowna ripped out about 3 acres of peach trees this spring after not one of her peach trees flowered. To salvage this year's growing season, Oliver has planted field crops, including several melon varieties, where her peach tree orchard stood.
We've got melons. We're planting so many more muskmelons, cantaloupe, and watermelon this year because of the loss of the peaches.
The crop loss for fruit farmers is just the latest blow in a string of extreme weather events in recent years. In 2021, a record-setting heat dome scorched BC orchards and stressed fruit trees. The past two winters have seen extreme cold, resulting in crop losses for fruit farmers. Alan Gatsky grows mainly apples, and he expects to have a crop this year, but Gatsky says that British Columbia's stable weather patterns have become much less dependable.
There's no doubt in my mind that the weather has been more volatile in the last decade. We're seeing a lot of records on the high and down on the low. We do best when we can count on the weather, and so that does concern me as a person who makes a living from a stable environment.
In March of this year, the BC government announced a $70 million program for fruit growers to replant and strengthen orchards and vineyards in the province. But Ron McMillan, a fruit and grape grower in the Okanagan Valley, says that funding does little to help farmers in the short term. McMillan says that both government and consumers need to realize that there will be far less product being supplied by Okanagan growers this year.
I think this is a wake up for people that are non-farmers. Farmers have been realizing something's been going on for a while, been sounding the alarm, but not everybody's been listening. It's going to be a lot of changes going on as people try and figure out ways to make this work.
To meet Western Canadian demand this year, the BC Fruit Growers Association says that more tender fruit, like peaches and nectarines, will have to be imported from the U.S. and other countries. Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
Thanks, Denny. Good to hear your voice. Denny Guy from Canada. Up next, Wisconsin farmers continue to face frustrations. More rain on the way. Dean Ebert from Helena in West Bend is going to be joining us to talk a little bit about how they've been coming up with a plan B, a plan C to keep things rolling forward. Stick around. We're so glad you're with us on a Friday. Crop Tour 2024 just around the corner, August 7th at Maize and Bacon Farms just north of Sauk City, hosted by McFarland's and Fendt. Joining me today, Arthur Santos. He is one of the product development specialists with the Momentum Planter that you'll see on August 7th. You know what I really like about the Momentum, Arthur, is that it's a lot of technology in one spot, but very easy to use.
We don't need a complex planter, right? We need things to be simple. We have taken soil cores, right? Little pieces of the soil where we planted with Momentum and a competitive planter, and the university put it in CT scan machines. And when we talk CT scans, I'm talking the ones that you scan your brain, right? We're talking top-notch medical facility. And we've scanned the soil cores to measure porosity. And the university did cumulative pore space analysis. And they were plotting graphs so they can put in details. And a postgraduate student is writing an article about it. And all these complex research is showing in the end how the compaction level from Momentum versus that other competitive planter was much better. And then obviously at the end, we had the yield results. So the research and the trials may look complex, but no, the idea is to bring to the farmers how easy it is to operate, how much benefits can you take from the planter. And this is what we want to show, and we will show in our crop tour in Sauk City. I'm looking forward to it, to join you and the McFarland team there for our event.
Right, that event, August 7th, just outside of Sauk City, off Highway 60 at Mays and Bacon Farms, hosted by our friends at McFarland's and Fendt. Arthur Santos along with us, product development specialist with Fendt. I'm PM Yankee.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A lot of financial chatter is focused on the stock market. Is it up? Is it down? Is it a bull market? Is it a bear market? The Dow just hit a record high. But how much should people like me and you really care about these daily updates? The answer? Not very much. Most of those daily highs and lows come from small-scale events that just don't mean that much to the broader U.S. economy. And the stock market is not the economy. For most of us, long-term growth is what really matters for retirement. Now, if you are one of the richest 10% of Americans who own 93% of all the stock, you can ignore this message. But for the rest of us, we're going to get more done by keeping an eye on our spending and savings than we are by paying attention to Wall Street. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, take good care.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is off, but I, Greg Bach, am hosting in her stead. We welcome Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, as well as Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
The weekend to get stuff on. I mean, that little window there to get that fungicide on the wheat was critical. We managed to get it done with ground rigs. We did do a little bit of drone work. We did do a little bit of air support with helicopter, but it was good we got it done. A lot of stress out there. I really feel for these guys, but we got to partner and find solutions that'll work individually for each farm.
What are you going to be kind of keeping your eyes on now when we get into V5 or beyond on the corn, for example? Anything in particular? God forbid we see tar spot or anything like that. What are you going to keep your eye on, Dean?
Well, a lot of our customers are using Whole Farm Service here, which is our scouting program. There'll be a lot of tissue testing. Yeah. So we're watching those tissue tests close to see if the current nitrogen program is holding. Mm-hmm. If we need to apply a little more nitrogen later, fungicides, you know, it's going to be tough. We got a lot of fields that are uneven. We're going to be focusing on the best acres that have the highest yield potential and make sure we get fungicide on those acres. There are some acres that might not pay. We might abandon some stuff. Yeah. Let's focus on the good acre, the highest yielding acre, and go there. Soybean side, we're just coming in a post-applied program. Our pre's held really, really nice. We had plenty of water to activate. But Liberty applications along with Enlist One and Roundup, a little more residual control to help keep water hemp back at bay. So far, that looks okay. But there are two, a little bit of bean leaf beetle out there. So we'll kind of be watching to see if there's any bug pressure. We need to have to spike in a fungicide on that pass. Yeah. But and then, of course, this alfalfa, second cutting is coming around. It's beat up. It's uneven. We have a nice foliar pass that we can apply if we're going to try to help straighten out some of these stands.
Dean Ebert, he's just one of the staff out there with Helena trying to make some of the recommendations that you are going to be needing in this crazy growing season of 2024. And like he said, conditions change farm by farm, field by field. You know, you have to have that conversation with them on a regular basis, but they've got the tools and the services available to get you the answers you're looking for. Again, Helena Agri is how you can find out all the locations in Wisconsin and catch up with good folks like Dean. HelenaAgri.com. Along with Dean Ebert at their location in West Bend, I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Matt Nair on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Dealing with livestock and pets during and after a natural disaster. Next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Natural disasters make life tough for people and animals. The Utah Department of Agriculture and Food has community animal response teams in the event of a disaster. Coordinating that program is Assistant State Veterinarian Amanda Price.
It's going to help counties and cities prepare for animals in disaster, to have a plan in place before a disaster for what they're going to do with the animals in their community, as well as helping the individual animal owners realize, hey, we've got to have some plans in place for our animals.
Price says people can put themselves at risk when their animals are at risk.
We know that planning for animals in disasters and helping save their lives saves human lives as well. There were a lot of people during Hurricane Katrina that refused to evacuate because they were told they couldn't take their pets with them. So they stayed behind and put themselves in risk.
Then, says Price, there's the matter of reuniting animals and their owners when the disaster's over.
So not as big a deal for the ones that are branded, but, you know, horses, if they're not branded, it can be really hard to tell who they belong to. So if you don't want to brand them, you can use the microchips. Can't use microchips on food animals, but, you know, we do have the RFID tags, brands, other ways to figure out who the owners are.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Earl Ingram.
Tune in to the show Friday for my regular conversation with my good friend Sandy Williams. We'll talk about the 4th of July, my interview with President, and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support. WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252DR Oshkosh. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.